This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Michael K. is on the radio today, and he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking. Is on the radio today. To turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
Hey, this is Alex Rodriguez, and you're listening to the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thank you, Alex, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Wednesday. It's December 2nd already, 2020. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, all apart, but together for 4 hours. The other 20, those are your responsibility. You fill them the way you want. We're excited that we have a new contest that we're going to announce somewhere during this show where, let me just give you a little bit of a clue on this, all right? You'll get a chance to be a part of the show, more than just a call. It's exciting. That's how Peter got this gig.
That's not true. Take that back.
A contest?
That's what I was told by management.
Don, it was that at Jay's.
It pretty much was. Also, before we get into baseball's tender process, I just saw something on the New York Post website that it bothers me. It really does. And I want to bring it up. The Post wrote a story about there's a nice Jewish guy's 2021 calendar. How is Peter not on that calendar? Sexiest mensch alive. How is he not on the calendar?
And
I'm looking at some of the pictures. Peter's much better looking and much more successful than all of the dudes in here.
Where is this?
It's the New York Post.
Okay, so as somebody once famously said, who are you taking out?
Hold on.
Well, you know what, Don? I can answer that. There's at least 11 guys out of the 12 I take out for Peter.
Who are you taking out?
A lot of people. Is it on the front page?
It was on Twitter, so just go to a New York Post on Twitter.
I'm gonna be very upset here.
A lot of guys.
I understand, and that's why I'm very curious to look here. Now, also, guys, I have a bit of... Oh, here we go.
You see it?
2021 calendar. Nice Jewish guys. Who's the... Okay, I'm going to be irate.
First of all, your publicist is dropping the ball. Because you should be January and December. You should be the sandwich for this calendar.
Who are these people?
They're not you.
Howie? Just a random schlub named Howie? I got to go through this whole list. I'm upset. Now, I do want to say I bring something very interesting to the table today as well, Don.
Sure.
I had the pleasure earlier today of speaking with CeCe Sabathia.
I know.
I asked him several questions, important questions, including what do you do with Gary Sanchez, what's the future of Aaron Judge, and most importantly, what's going on with you and Michael K.
Oh, really? How did that go?
I will reveal later in the show.
How much later? Because I'm intrigued by this.
The extensive... Now, listen, Don, this audio really needs to be broken down like the Zapruder footage, okay?
Wow. So not video, audio Zapruder.
But there is video as well, and the video is important because you'll see the breaking of eye contact and things of that nature.
So CeCe was in the studio.
CeCe was on Zoom. On Zoom. So coming up later today, you will once and for all hear the question out loud. What's up with you and my guy, Michael K.?
What made you ask this question?
Which, Don, how many times has this come up on the show that there's something going on here?
But what? CeCe's doing such unbelievable charitable work. Why would you make him feel uncomfortable?
I'm sure Peter got all
that. When somebody doesn't like somebody, they don't like somebody.
You get it all in. No, but there is something here. And you know what? This is why Peter and I are great teammates. Because when given the opportunity, we've both brought this up to CeCe. And we're going to find out what the response was from CeCe today.
I hope there's a resolution. So is there a chance that CeCe could be on this show at some point?
You know what? That comes up in the conversation.
I don't know. Is Ruco filling in for you anytime soon?
Guess what? Ruco comes up in the conversation as
now,
well.
Now, Ebro engaged in this conversation?
Ebro was deeply engaged because he didn't know about this.
He just sunk his teeth into it.
Ebro really didn't care what CeCe's thought on Gary Sanchez was. This is the stuff he loves.
This is when Ebro perked up. He went, what's going on here?
What?
You will hear this later. We probably have to play the whole piece. It's a 3 or 4 minute conversation. We might have to dig into the whole thing.
So after we hear this, will it hit different?
Now, do we do this in the show or do we do a very special ENN?
I think it's got to be in show, right? I think it's show worthy.
It might be 5 o'clock hour. I'll tell you what. I don't know.
Wow.
I'll leave that to you guys.
Well, it is a very famous athlete for a very famous team.
A Hall of Famer.
Future Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
It's 5 o'clock worthy.
I'd love to hear it now, but you know, let's not push it. I know about teases.
That's right. Let's save it for 5 o'clock. RJ, have you already dealt with this? RJ, he's heard it. RJ has it.
It is very good. Very good.
Is it revealing? Is it salacious? I mean, do you want to put some kind of word on it?
I wouldn't say it's salacious, but there are some things that I wouldn't say CeCe says, but he doesn't deny that there's a lot to unpack.
A lot to unpack here. A lot.
Wow. So,
and the best part is, it's not completely clear. It requires some real thought and listening.
I think that's where Don comes in.
I'm going to get very opinionated on this because I got nothing to lose. No. I'm not doing no podcast with him. I've got no. I confronted him about this too, and I got nowhere. So I'm hoping you got deeper than I did. He just flat out denied it to me.
You'll hear it at 5 o'clock.
To tease this a little further, Pete.
Go ahead.
Is Ruco involved in this fracturing of a relationship that I never knew I fractured?
Well, that's the thing. You have to listen. There's the initial question.
Right.
What's up with you and Michael K?
Mm-hmm.
Then that's discussed for a few minutes. Then it goes away. Then at the end, I give a shout out to Ruco and the R2C2 podcast.
Sure. You're a good host.
And when I do that, CeCe's response to that is sort of telling as well.
Wow. You know what? I can almost picture, like, you being Kenan Thompson singing What's Up With That.
What's Up With That?
Yeah, and, like, Ebro being the Jason Sudeikis character dancing in, like, the sweatsuit.
And can we be honest here, too, since all this is out on the table?
Let's go ahead. Lay it out.
Maybe we can even run this up the poll, RJ, if you want. I think we need to come up with a fourth. How uncomfortable in relation to me and Dan and Michael and Rick is the relationship between CeCe and Ryan?
Oh, that's a runaway winner, Don.
I would think it's going to run away and win,
You can't find two more different people.
And they are close.
Oh, my goodness, are they close. CeCe was invited to the wedding.
You were too, right?
Oh, I was too, yeah.
I
was hoping we'd be at the same table, but no.
Oh, what a table that is, if it's Michael sitting with CeCe.
Let me just lay it out there before you even play any of the sound.
Okay.
I have volunteered to work at CeCe's charity functions and got no response. Volunteered. Listen, I'd love to take part if you need any help. Nothing. So it can't be me. There's not a right-minded person on earth that wouldn't like me.
But whatever.
Because I'm a delight.
But there is no question he does not like you. There's no question.
No, I think it's stronger than that.
Well, that is the question.
It is so weak that he doesn't reveal it. Because of his stature, he should have no problem letting the world know what his problem is with you. I don't know why there's such disdain, and yet he doesn't say anything. I'm really
happy. You know what you should do?
Get something out of this.
Yeah, Don, I think you should listen later and see what you hear.
I have done some sleuthing, though, and I wonder if you cover this. The best I could uncover is that the year that CeCe was hurt and watched the games on TV, he thought I was too negative. for a broadcaster that broadcasts for the team, but he's from Milwaukee.
Well, he reveals
Cleveland, and I he think reveals, he's not used to a New York broadcaster.
He reveals some information about consumption of the broadcast.
Sure.
That well, I found. No. The way that it's consumed.
Oh, I know how it's consumed, and it's been a bane of every announcer's existence. You know who consumes it? Family. And then they tell the player what you say.
No. Let me tell you this. You don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
All right. This is new information.
But I could tell you in the conversation, for people that don't know, CC, I think, was recording his podcast with Ryan at our studios. This is maybe three years ago. And Michael was on the road, and this was right around when Michael was like, I don't know what his problem is with me. I think it has something to do with the broadcast, whatever. And he was just sitting there in the newsroom by himself. So I introduced myself, and I said, what's your problem with Michael? He's like, I have no problem. I'm like, okay, what are you talking about? I said, I don't know. I get the sense that you got a problem with him. He's like, no, I got no problem. I said, because if it has anything to do with him on the air or broadcast or being critical, I mean, Michael's got a job to do. I mean, this was when the Yankees, there was something going on. I think it might have been 16, Michael. Might have been going where they weren't going to the playoffs. I said, you're not a playoff team. There's a lot of issues. He's got to do a talk show. I said, you realize there's only one other person at the time that actually was a voice of a team and did a talk show, and that was Grant Napier.
And he's lost his job.
I said, so he can't just be a shill. Other announcers could just be an unadulterated shill of a team because they've got no other job to do. I said, Michael's got a job to do. He's got to be honest. That's what makes him so great. He's like, I know. I get it. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have a problem with anything with Michael. That was his response. He completely took a knee on the whole thing.
I can't wait to hear this this Zapruder tape that Peter put together along with Ebro. Anyway, today is tender day in baseball. So once you offer an arbitration-eligible player arbitration, they're signed. They're considered signed. So they either get the number you put in or the number they put in, and arbitrator will decide between the two. But you make that decision whether or not you're going to offer them arbitration. So today, I think, is going to be a day in baseball where so many people will not be tendered. Good players will not be tendered simply because teams lost so much money last year, and some guys, just because of the year they are in arbitration, are going to make more money than the team thinks they're worth, and they're not going to pay them in a year like this. They could get a lesser player, but not that much of a different player for a lot less money. And a lot of the guessing game, at least involving the Yankees, and there's one with the Mets too, and I don't want to short shrift them. The one with the Mets is Steven Matz, who might have had the worst season that a pitcher's had in a long, long time for the Mets. Don, you watched it. Steven
awful.
Was dreadful.
Yeah,
I mean, when Steven broke into the big leagues, he pitched them. People forget it. He pitched in the World Series. There's a local kid. You want him to do well, but he was so bad. I don't think the Mets will non-tender him. I believe they will tender him. Because if they don't tender him, he'll be snapped up in a second. Now, he'll probably make about $8 or $9 million in arbitration, which brings us to Gary Sanchez. So Gary made $5 million last year over 162 season, but I think it came out to like 1.8 over the 60-game season. And he's eligible for arbitration. And despite the fact that he hit 147, when you go to arbitration, they're going to give you a raise based more on time served than what you just did. Now, if you had a great year, you could put in a bigger arbitration number. But the Yankees, if they go into arbitration and offer him less than $5 million a year, they will lose the arbitration. So they have to fiscally put it in their head. He's getting $6 million bucks if we tender him. He's going to get at least $1 million raise, despite hitting 147. That's why the arbitration process is incredibly flawed. Imagine having the worst year you could possibly have. Gary can't have a worse season than that and getting a raise. That's how great arbitration is for players. I think, and from what I've been told, working the phones like an animal for you, the people, they are not going to just let him go. They're not going to do it. They will tender him a contract, and there's reasons why. They still believe in him. they're going to look at it and say, well, that was just a 60-game season. I think he played 47 games. And you can't judge people on that, which I think is a sketchy argument. Well, you really can't judge somebody on 60 games. Well, you're judging people have good years on 60 games. You're going to take a look at DJ LeMahieu and his 360 whatever average and go, wow, that was a great year. You're not going to say, well, it was only a 60-game year. I think that Gary has been on a downward slide over the last couple of years. But he made the All-Star team in 2019. So he's not that far removed from being considered an All-Star.
But he wasn't deserving of that. That was probably based off of 2018.
He was okay in 2019. I mean, hit 230. The average keeps dipping, but the power numbers were there. And if you look at his OPS is actually higher than most catchers. That's on-base percentage plus slugging. Now, I look at it in a different way. The Yankees will sell you to the hills that, you know, the framing and all that, how he's done a good job with the lower pitches. And if you look at the analytics, you know, he does get strikes on lower pitches at a better rate than most catchers. Okay, I see a lot of pass balls. Now, the Yankees have a hard staff to catch. I get it, but great catchers will catch them. So I see why the Yankees are seduced to bring him back, because you can't just lose it completely. But here's the things that concern me. Because they got him lower to receive the low pitch better, he had no lateral movement. I was listening to John Flaherty the other day on the hot stove on Yes. If you threw the pitch outside or inside, he had a hard time getting to it because he's down on his knee. And even when there's not a runner on base, he's not down on his knee. He just doesn't have the lateral movement. He's a big guy. If you ever stood next to Gary, he's a big, big man. But that's the least of my concerns with him. He's got a good arm. He can still throw you out. But he couldn't hit a fastball last year. He struck out close to 40% of the time. Now, you think of Gary as a high strikeout guy, but in his previous seasons in the big leagues, he struck out about 22% of the time, which is league average. Last year, I think it was 37% of the time. That's well above league average. And the one thing that a Major League Baseball player has to do, if you can't hit a fastball, you can't play in the big leagues. Now, a lot of people can hit breaking balls, but they can hit fastballs. I don't think there's a guy in the big leagues that didn't get to the big leagues because they could hit a fastball. So that was very, very curious that he could not hit fastballs. But I think the Yankees are banking on two things, Don and Peter. It's still in there, and they could find it. Three things. $6 million. They're not going to replace him for less than that. James McCann, a backup last year with the White Sox, made 5.5. So Real Muto's probably going to get over 20. You're not going to get somebody, even if you get Yadier Molina, who's 38 years old, you're not getting him for lower than $6 million. And the third thing, and this is just me trying to figure out what they're doing. You think they want to let him go? You think they want Tampa Bay to pick him up? You think they want Tampa Bay to fix him? You think they want to see him 19 times a year for the next 5 years? You think they want that? That would be what happened with Sonny Gray. 100 times that. If it happened with Gary Sanchez. Sonny Gray went to the Reds and did well. This guy might be going to an American League East team and do well. There's too much of a risk there. So they're bringing back Gary Sanchez. The only, and the deadline is 8 p.m. tonight. The only reason they don't tender him is if between now, what is it, 3:19, coming up on 3:20, between now and 8 o'clock, Brian Cashman makes a trade or signs a catcher. If that doesn't happen, Gary Sanchez is coming back. And that's the way I look at it. And I think, you know what, I think it's the right move.
Well, you talk about arbitration, and the way people might not realize, arbitration is almost like a trial. You're on trial for your contract. So you have your agent argue for you, and then the team argue against you. And, Michael, there's been reports of players crying during their arbitration case.
Because Montelli Rullo almost jumped over the desk.
Because the team that owns your rights is going to talk about how bad you are. Okay?
Right.
It's really tough to go through. But how do the Yankees have a case? Because no one's defended Gary more than the Yankees have. So how hypocritical would that be in the arbitration case to then argue all the things that you just said? You would have to say that we were lying.
That's why he's going to get a raise.
You know, so he's going to get the raise, and they want him. But here's the thing that really just drives me crazy, and you just at the very end of that whole conversation that you had, is that they're afraid the raise will fix him. the way that Sonny Gray was fixed by the Reds. You know, why can't the Yankees do the fixing, Michael? Like, they're so worried about somebody fixing Gary. What that means is they can't crack the code, but they think somebody out there can. Why can't they be the team to crack the code? Well, right? If they couldn't figure it out, they'd be like, let them go. We can't figure it out. Nobody else is going to be able to figure it out. It's almost as if they realize there's an organization out there that's going to crack this code, and we can't do it. So why can't they do it, Michael?
Well, I don't know if they know an organization can crack the code. I guess there's a fear there that somebody else might, because you know they cracked the code with Sonny Gray.
Right. But and they pitched the whole Sonny Gray couldn't handle New York thing. But you see what I'm saying, Peter, is that they know he can be fixed. They clearly see something in there. They know it's in there. It's like the golden jewel is inside the safe. They just got to figure out how to crack the safe.
But I think at a certain point it becomes less about what you think is inside the safe and more about your fear that someone else will find it.
But why can't you get it out?
Well, but they
have, you're the New York Yankees, right? They do pretty much everything well. They've got the money. They've got the brains, right? Why can't they do it? They obviously know that it's in there. Otherwise, if they didn't think it was in there, they would let them go. So why are you worried the Rays can crack it?
Here's my, I mean, the Yankees don't ask for my advice on this, but this would be my advice to them.
They should. You're brilliant.
They've spent so much time changing the way this guy catches. And once robot umpires become a real thing, and it's going to be, framing is going to mean zip.
Zero.
Zip. Because you're not going to fool a robot. A strike is a strike, whether you frame it the right way or not. So that's out the window. I don't know when it's going to happen, whether it's in 2 years or 3 years. There will be robot home plate umpires. When they really refine the system, they will. If I'm the Yankees, what's Gary most important to me? Four. Hit it.
His bat.
His bat. I want him to hit 40 home runs.
All right.
They hired the best catching instructor in the game. They hired him away from the Twins, Tanner Swanson. And Tanner's the guy who got him down on that knee and has improved his framing on the lower pitches. I got to tell you, he comes into Tampa whenever spring training might be. I go, just get back to doing what you do. I think they overloaded him. This guy cares. His body language would tell you he doesn't care. He cares an awful lot. He really does care. So he wants to do what they want him to do. They're trying to make... Mike Piazza couldn't throw. Peter throws better than Mike Piazza.
It was embarrassing.
Nobody tried to fix him. You know why? Because he hit like an MVP.
Right.
So there were 7 postseason games that the Yankees played. Gary started just 2 of them. And you know where he batted when they started him? 9th.
Yeah.
He's broken. So I don't think he forgot how to hit. I think he's so obsessed with the catching aspect of it that he's taking it up to the plate. So I would relieve all of that stress from him. Now, I don't want him to be a hack behind the plate, but even when he was quote-unquote a bad catcher with all the pass balls, they didn't lose that many games because of that, and they won way more games because he hit home runs. I'd say forget about everything. Just go up there and worry about hitting. And eventually, maybe Stanton's legs will be in such good shape that he could play the outfield and you could DH a lot. Now, there's one other angle to this that I think is somewhat concerning. If you bring him back and he's your number one catcher, you know what? He's not starting opening day. Your number one catcher is not going to start on opening day. Because Cole pitched to a 1-0 ERA with Higashioka behind the plate. So that's a bad optic, as we say. So how is Gary going to accept that over a full season, that for 32 games, Cole is going to pitch to Higashioka and not to him? And he's your number one catcher.
Hey.
Who will not be able to catch your ace. That's going to be tough, too.
But you know what? That's the least of my concerns, Michael. I mean, Javi Lopez was one of the best catchers in baseball as far as offense was concerned on a championship-caliber team. Never caught Maddox.
Yep.
Never.
But they had other great pitchers, too.
No, but I'm saying that was... Here's Greg Maddox, Glavin, the best pitcher.
And Smoltz.
You know, and I know, I understand that, but that was just... That was the, what he was not... You know, so I'm sure Maddox pitched opening day.
Right.
And he didn't pitch to Javi Lopez. You know, you saw in big World Series games, Jorge Posada not catch A.J. Burnett. I mean, it's, to me, I get it, like the optic of it, but That's the least of my concern. As a matter of fact, you know what? If you're worried about the optic, I think one day Cole can pitch to Sanchez. Now, it wouldn't be the end of the world if you just didn't want to embarrass him of not being there on opening day. But we've seen that happen. But I just mentioned Javi Lopez, Mike Piazza, Todd Hundley was hitting 40 home runs. You think anybody cared about his catching ability? I mean, if he could be, if you just said, just do the best you can behind the plate, focus on hitting, this could be a guy that could flirt with 50 home runs a year.
Yeah.
Isn't that more important?
I think it is. I really do. I understand the Yankees wanting to make the perfect catcher. I get it. That should be their goal. But I think they broke him this year. I think the information overload with him defensively led to him being just completely awful offensively. This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Two by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit Two by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. All right, so we'll take some phone calls. Remember, I have a big contest that we're going to reveal where you can be on the air with us. So we're excited about it, and it's kind of like, it's got a holiday feel to it. So we're excited about it. I think you will be as well. So stay tuned to find out about that. Then we have the big interview with CeCe Sabathia.
And I will be bringing back a Daily Don by request.
Oh, this! Wow.
And it's a Daily Don, guys, that just, I think it would be important because it's not going to matter to me. I'll let you search the web.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah.
I do that anyway most of the time during these things.
I know, but now it's not going to be frowned down upon.
Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you can listen to us on 98.7. You could watch us on Yes. And you know, there's another way that you could actually do this.
How?
You could listen on the app. You could listen on your smart speaker. Say, play ESPN New York. Boom, yeah. We're right there.
I do it every morning. When I'm feeding the kids, I listen to DCR.
So there's a lot of ways to consume us.
It was a very embarrassing moment for DiPietro today, too.
Why?
Well, that's a tease.
All right, we'll come back with that because I don't like my friend being embarrassed. Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Michael K. Show.
I had the pleasure earlier today of speaking with CeCe Sabathia. I asked him several questions, and most importantly, what's going on with you and Michael K.?
Oh, really? How did that go?
I will reveal later in the show. This audio really needs to be broken down like the Zapruder footage, okay?
Audio Zapruder.
This is the Michael K. Show.
What is the issue between you and my guy, Michael K.? Ebro, use your Oakland powers to read into this.
On 98.7 ESPN.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. We have an exciting show today.
Yes.
Because Don has a Daily Don at 4:30, which everybody's talking about, that it's going to be that great. So we're looking forward to that. Then we have a special contest that we're going to reveal, kind of a giveaway where we're giving away airtime. We're going to get a chance to be on the show. Kind of a holiday giveaway, so to
speak. Beautiful.
Yeah. Then Peter Rosenberg and Ebro from Hot 97's morning show interviewed CeCe Sabathia, and Peter seems like he's cracked a little bit of a code here, and I guess we'll play that during the 5 o'clock hour. So
that's
there's
right.
A lot of stuff on the plate. A lot of stuff.
Sure it is. Not to mention, I'm doing a literal RG3 watch right now. Do you guys remember RG3 watch?
Yeah, sure.
It's actually happening.
Oh, I haven't heard that in a while.
You want to hear it?
Him cooking cereal.
He cooks cereal. he rubs his teammates' legs. But it's happening as we speak, and what I've watched so far has not been pretty.
I'm amazed. I really am amazed that the NFL forced them to play this game.
And I think something
that Don said earlier in the week, it's punishment. You're not going to do this the right way. Your people are going to get sick. If they followed the protocols, they wouldn't. And we're going to force you to play.
Yeah.
And you're going to lose.
And I think that's absolutely the right thing to do, because forfeiting the game, you could say, let's just forfeit the game. They get the loss and nobody has to go through all this. Well, it's unfair to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh did it the right way. Pittsburgh didn't have any problems. So now their possible going after an undefeated season is going to be tainted because there was a forfeit in there, right? That's not fair to them. And in the NFL, when you forfeit, neither team gets paid. So why should the Steelers suffer for the mistake that the Ravens made? So that's it. You got to play the game. You're compromised. Tough. That Denver, you've got no quarterbacks? Well, make sure your quarterbacks wear masks in the meeting.
Well, I'll tell you what. The NFL's getting what they deserve. It's like almost 10 minutes into this game. Three turnovers, a missed extra point, sloppiness everywhere. It's garbage football. And Michael, how much less is their viewership going to be because they can't air during prime time because of the Christmas tree lighting?
There's so many layers to this, okay? One of them is, okay, so what Don is saying I think is legitimate. All right, so they're forcing them to play because it's kind of a punishment on top of the punishment that they'll get. It's not good for the fans. They practice once in the last 2 weeks. That's not a recipe for good football. And I am shocked that NBC would rather have the tree lighting, which is a popular show, but it ain't as popular as NFL football, that they put NFL football on at 3 o'clock. Now, I understand there's a lot of moving parts and performers at the Christmas tree lighting,
right,
and the NFL could have really swung it around if they wanted to, but they kind of acquiesced once. This is a bad play for NBC. They lost a primetime game. They're putting it at 3 o'clock. They can't charge nearly the same amount of money for commercials, and the ratings are not going to be nearly what they were.
Oh, sorry, and I spoke too soon.
Yeah.
The fourth turnover of the quarter has been committed. Don,
it's awful football.
Don, how bad of all the punt return fumbles you've seen, where does this rank among the worst you've ever seen?
It is just incredible. But it's entertaining. See, I believe the one sport that can entertain you when it's bad is football. Bad football could be entertaining. It's going to be a wild game. But I don't know what the alternative is, guys. Like, what do you do? If you don't play the game, then, like I said, the forfeiting, you're not getting paid. It wouldn't be fair to the Steelers. If they're trying desperately to avoid a Week 18, because then that would be unfair because the teams with the bye wouldn't play for 2 weeks.
You know what's perfect about this game, Don? It's so awful that, like, it's the perfect game to watch while listening to the radio show.
Yeah.
You don't need commentary. You don't need to be deeply invested. But you want to watch the ish show that this is because it's a disaster.
And
penalty on first down.
I've been looking at social media because there's a lot of this, especially from the baseball community. Oh, baseball would never get away with this. Like, nobody ever insults the NFL. I don't know what the NFL is supposed to do, guys.
But there is truth to that statement, though, Don. If you were playing the Dodgers, and the Dodgers lost their entire starting pitching staff to COVID, and the commissioner made the Dodgers play.
Well,
it would be an insult to the integrity of baseball. Nobody's saying that about football, though that might be the only way you could do it. I get what you're saying. They don't have an option, but
right.
Nobody's going nuts over it like it's ruining. You're playing an embarrassing brand of football right now, a team that hasn't been able to practice, that's lost over 20 players, including the MVP of the league, and they're still going to play the game, and nobody gives them any hard time like they give baseball.
But I don't know. But first of all, it's apples and oranges. It would never happen in baseball because they could just postpone the game.
But you know what I'm saying. Even if it was a World Series where they had five pitchers that were identified as COVID positive and they played the game, baseball would be excoriated for it.
Well, they were excoriated what happened with Turner.
Right, and this happens all the time in the NFL.
But again, I don't know. But listen, I know it's the big bad NFL, and we can make fun of them for making it seem like these games are more important. What do you want them to do? Shut it down? Because otherwise, what are you supposed to do? How are they supposed to handle the situation? When the Ravens were irresponsible, all right, you could say, well, make them forfeit the game. Well, I just told you the pitfalls of that. Pittsburgh doesn't get paid. It would be unfair to Pittsburgh not to play the game. The only team that's embarrassed right now are the Ravens, and they should be because they're the ones that broke protocol, and they put themselves in this situation. What could the NFL do? What is the NFL doing wrong? And I love these people who say, well, they should just shut down the sport. Well, all right. Well, who did that?
Yeah, those are the same people who say that baseball shouldn't have been played. I don't agree with that either.
You know, when the Cardinals didn't go 2 weeks without playing, it was all, they got to shut down. Shutting down doesn't appear to be an option. Nobody seems to want it shut down. And they're finding a way to get through. So I'd like to know, for the people who want to bash the NFL, And I've got no problem doing that when I see something wrong.
Week 18.
How would you have wanted them to handle this situation?
I don't think week 18 is that big a deal. This game being played now is an affront to legitimate football. Week 18, the only negative is that the team that has a bye gets 2 weeks off. So they all get healthy. But if you played the Super Bowl in March, who cares?
No, I agree with that.
CBS would still hungrily gobble it up.
But all the things you're talking about, you are still punishing somebody else for what the Ravens did. In this situation, the only team that's really getting punished is Baltimore. Because they're the ones that are forced to play shorthanded.
Well, the fans are getting punished
if they lose the game.
The fans are getting punished. They're watching this trash. And Ravens fans are getting punished.
But the Ravens were the ones that screwed up. And
we have no idea how they got this. We have no idea. We know that Denver screwed up by the quarterbacks not wearing masks. The only thing we've heard is that maybe a weight trainer
right
brought it into the team. But the players might have done nothing wrong.
But it's still a member of the Baltimore Ravens that broke protocol. How is he? The word is he walked into areas without a mask. So if that turns out to be the case and that's the report, well, then the Ravens did the bad thing and they should be punished for it. And under this scenario, forget about the fans, Michael. I mean, I think the fans, you know, the Baltimore fans, I can't answer to them. The Steeler fans will probably be excited if they win, although the Ravens just scored and can take the lead with an extra point. But under all the other scenarios, moving it to Week 18, which they might have no choice but to do anyway, will, in fact, punish the teams with a bye, giving them 2 weeks off. They didn't do anything, right?
But that's a small punishment.
But for the Ravens, and listen,
I mean,
Ravens,
you have 2 weeks off most years between the championship game and the Super Bowl. They survive.
But it's still a long time and a very strange situation for something that they didn't do wrong. And listen, Baltimore's fighting through it. They're an extra point away from taking the lead. If Baltimore wins the game, then nobody's got a kick coming, right? Baltimore survived. It ends up becoming a great story. We're getting a game on a Wednesday. Yeah, NBC loses a little bit of money. All right? Well, some fans are inconvenienced because the game is at 3:40. But I really don't know what people want the NFL to do.
Look how much time between the last game the Steelers have had. They have a little bit of a kick coming.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, they thought they were going to play Thursday. They're playing on Wednesday of the next week.
Right. But the alternative would have been make them forfeit the game. That way we don't have the embarrassment of a 3:40 Wednesday game with awful football. That's what you're suggesting. Well,
no,
how would that
I'm suggesting
would
week
end up
18.
Going even longer without playing
I'm
the
suggesting
game.
Week 18. I don't think that's that big a deal.
But you could end up having an extra week. Give me your thoughts on this, Peter.
Go ahead.
An extra week, which means Kansas City's got to wait 2 weeks to play their first playoff game, right? For potentially just one game that could end up not really meaning all that much.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
This is going to mean a lot. I mean, the Steelers are going to have, if they win this game, the Steelers are going to have the bye and not Kansas City.
Well, the
so this game
meaningful.
Means a lot.
But what
only
I'm saying
one team gets a bye this year.
Everything
conference.
We have, which I don't care about. Play the Super Bowl in August. It doesn't matter to me. But I think what the NFL is saying, do we want to extend a week for what might end up being just making up one game? Now, if it ends up being a half a dozen of them, which it might end up being before it's over, they may have no choice. But at this point, what is the big crime in moving this game to today? Especially if Baltimore wins.
Well, hold on. But Michael has already stated that. It's horrible football. It's unfair for the team who didn't make the violations. It's bad for the fans. Let's be honest, it's terrible for the betting market. You can't bet this game. It's a joke. The ratings are worse because it's on in the middle of the day.
But the alternative, so you agree that they should not have played this game, extend the season to a week.
I think it shows the constant NFL God complex that they won't just accept they're going to do a bonus week. If the only thing you had to do to make your season work was basically create a second bye week, and if you don't end up using it, you don't use it, but you schedule it there, is that really a tragedy?
Here's what if the NFL was MLB, right, and what happened with the Cardinals and the Mariners, they would force them to play with scrubs.
No.
Yeah, no, they would.
No, they would
because those teams, Major League Baseball, moved heaven and earth to play doubleheaders, and still the Cardinals play two fewer games than the other teams. The NFL would say, all right, 20 guys are out. You've got 20 people at the alternate site. Bring them up and play these games. That's exactly what they're doing right now. The MVP of the league is sitting this out. That's not a bad look.
Yeah,
he's one of their marquee players.
Right, but if they win, it becomes a great story. And actually,
that's stumbling. That's stumbling.
But you can make the case. Well, look what they did to the Cardinals. They didn't play for 2 weeks, and then they had to play like doubleheaders, and still didn't end up making up the full slate of games. But baseball still marched on. It was never an alternative to do anything else other than play.
But you're saying, like, if the Ravens win, it looks good. It's like saying, well, let's swim in a sewage system, and if we come up with a diamond, it'll be worth the swim.
You're really exaggerating, like, how god-awful it is.
There's four turnovers, what, in the first quarter?
I know there's four. Sometimes there's bad football being played, but I think people are still being entertained by it. And if the Ravens end up winning the game, the one thing you're saying is how disgraceful the MVP of the league's not in the game. How unfair is that to the Ravens? And then they turn around and win the game.
I don't think they're going to win the game, but
I don't.
Don,
think
you know
so
what you're
either.
Don, you know what you're doing right now in this argument.
What's that?
You're emulating my friend Stat Guy Greg, who co-hosts the Cheap Heat podcast with me. When we back him into a corner and he somehow keeps shifting the argument, I call him the contortionist. You're finding every way to not make this game dreadful, but it's dreadful.
No,
it's a Wednesday at 3 o'clock, and the MVP is out, and they're playing like garbage.
But Michael's argument is that nobody wants to criticize the NFL, where if Major League Baseball was doing it, they would get destroyed. I don't really know what else the NFL could do. If you could avoid doing a Week 18...
Yeah, but why... This is a situation where they shouldn't have avoided it. They should have leaned into it and had a Week 18. It's not like this would have been the only game that week, Don.
Right,
there already would have been two or three other games that would have been there.
But and if it ends up being what they're saying, that the Baltimore Ravens are the ones that did it to themselves by not following protocol, why should I then cut them some slack and then play the game create a Week 18, which affects a lot of other teams besides them, giving them a break to where they get everybody back? You know what? You broke protocol. Now you got to play without your starting quarterback. Now you got to play on the road on a Wednesday, and now you're going to have a short turnaround playing on Monday.
But so does Pittsburgh.
It's supposed to feel bad for you?
But it's Pittsburgh, too. I mean, granted, I'm not crying about Pittsburgh, but, you know...
But Pittsburgh's been inconvenienced, all right? But they still have their complement of players to play the game. I think Michael's point is not the fact that it's a Wednesday afternoon. Yeah, boo-hoo for NBC, boo-hoo for the NFL. They've lost some money. So what? They print money. Okay? And I wouldn't be surprised if this rating actually isn't half bad because of the curiosity of it. But the whole embarrassment was, I can't believe the Ravens short 11 players are being forced to play this game. Well, that's their fault.
Did you see the Cowboy rating on Thanksgiving? It's the highest rated of the season. They blew it away.
Washington rating.
Dallas
Cowboy rating.
Dallas creates numbers. They just do.
What was the number?
I think 30 million people watched.
Wow.
Goodell spoke today. He said, it's a remarkable achievement to reach this point. We're proud of our players and all personnel for their tireless work and commitment. Like our teams, we're focused on finishing strong. Now, Dr. Alan Sills, the chief medical officer of the league, said that the NFL is not going to cut in the front of the line in terms of availability of the vaccine. Goodell went on to say, we've been discussing for the past weeks how we would proceed in the postseason. We'll continue to evaluate the kinds of changes we might want to make coming into the postseason. They do present different challenges. We're considering a number of alternatives to meet those challenges. All options are on the table. We feel strongly our protocols are working. I don't see us doing a bubble in the sense that I think a lot of the media focuses on it. We may look at ways to reduce the risk to our personnel, whether it is players, coaches, or other personnel, that would limit exposure.
Real quick, Michael, one other note. You just mentioned the Cowboys number. Are you seeing what they're saying that the Tyson Jones number was?
No.
Dan Raphael is reporting, who I think, is he still with us, Dan Raphael? Longtime ESPN boxing writer. Is reporting that the Tyson Jones number was over $1 million domestically.
How much was it? $50?
$50. Closer to 1.2 domestically, which would make it the biggest boxing pay-per-view in a long time.
He's still the biggest name in the sport.
And that's crazy. He did over $1 million buys at 54
years old. Did you see that
old?
Both Buster Douglas and Holyfield say they want to fight him now?
Everyone wants a check now. Even though Mike claims he's giving most of this money away.
Which I don't get.
Well, that's why I think he should do a few of these for charity, and if he continues to look good, he should take one real fight and take the money himself. I kind of am where Michael's at now, where you might as well, even if he loses, even if he loses badly to a Tyson Fury, think about what the interest was this last week. What would the interest be if he was fighting for the title?
Right, so essentially, Peter, a clown show got 1.2 million domestic buys. It was a clown show.
Pretty much.
If you actually have a heavyweight title at risk, they would at least double that number, probably more. And they charge $99 rather than
$50. No, Mike could make money to take care of his family for 100 years. In
99, baby.
That's a good point by you.
All right, so Don, you're all ready from what I'm hearing about a Daily Don that's going to knock people's socks off?
I like it. It's ready.
Oh, that's
the Daily Don, you moron!
The Daily Don!
What do you think it is?
Wow. Taking it back on Twitter, MD says, one of the most mentally exhausting things on the planet. A hot take, Don, listening to Don formulate a theory off the top of his head based on a House of Cards thought process. I believe everything that I'm saying. I'm making it up.
Don, speaking of your House of Cards thought process, four turnovers matches the most combined turnovers in a first quarter in four seasons. So this is unusually bad football.
But it's not going to affect the entertainment value. It's a one-point game. This is going to be a fun game to watch.
I don't want to keep beating a dead horse. You don't care how good a game is?
You got to
care if it's good football as long as...
Andrew, help me out here. Andrew, please. You answer the question, Andrew.
Andrew, are you entertained by the Eagles brand of football this year?
Well, no.
They win?
No.
They're not even fun.
No, they have not been entertained. But I do see... Look, my preference is to watch the Chiefs every week. But I do see what Don is saying in that the chaos of this first quarter has been its own brand of entertainment.
I'll tell you what, this tree lighting, it better be off the charts.
Oh, my God. By the way...
They have to launch the tree into orbit for it to be on instead of an NFL game.
I know. I can't wait until, you know, Nick Lachey sings Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
But I think they know that the rating for football would be better. But what do? You got all these live acts that are in New York that obviously had to put themselves in harm's way to get there, some of them. How do you tell them, no, sorry,
they couldn't have. They couldn't have split the difference and done this game at 7 and the tree lighting at 10?
No, it's a whole big thing.
Or to have the tree, what's the tree lighting at 8, right? Have the tree lighting at 8, started at 9.
Start the game at 9. That's a good point. Have it lead, or start the tree lighting at 7.
Or
seven
they can or have some kind of a post-tree lighting show where Mike Tirico breaks it down with Tony Dungy.
I think part of what makes it a little better for the being a 340 game is that now, you know, Baltimore will get home tonight. There is a little bit of a break for them playing Monday, that this game is in the afternoon, rather it being at 9 o'clock at night. So I know it seems like just a few hours, but for a team that's got ready to play Dallas on Monday, it does give them a little extra time.
And, by the way, coming up tonight on Yes, Michael, there's a tree lighting hot stove show. I can't wait for it.
Oh, it's going to be great.
They actually have good
stuff on Yes tonight. They have the Nets hot stove show. In the middle of the show is an exclusive one-on-one interview with Steve Nash and Michael Grady.
Really?
Yeah, so that's a good watch if you're so inclined and you're a Net fan. The Nets, by the way, today, both teams opened their training camp. The Nets in all the tabloids had the back page and not the Knicks.
Well, yeah, get used to it.
We're just going to put the Knick logo on the... What?
Right.
You got to give me some here.
Well, I mean, they're both, you know, Thibodeau, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, even the Nets coach is a star. Thibodeau's a great coach. He's not a star.
Tom star coach.
Thibodeau.
Look, you didn't even know how to pronounce his name. Now you do.
Great point.
All right, so we're going to come back. Daily Don, we're both curious about what it is. You are as well. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay, LaGreca, and you. Now, you can listen to the show by using your smart speaker. You can use our app. There are different ways to do it. Play ESPN New York. And, of course, you're watching on Yes and listening on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Everybody, it's me! I'm back! And guess what? It's another Don segment!
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don!
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists. Take it away, Donnie!
Now, I like it when you guys can get involved. And I realize that it might be tough because you might not know all of the information, so feel free to search the web if you want, because it still could be very debatable and still be fun. We were talking about Carson Wentz. He did not win the MVP in 2017, but I think we'd all agree he was on his way to winning the MVP had he not gotten hurt in that game in Los Angeles.
Is that right?
That's right. So, we were discussing this earlier. MVPs that struggled and kind of dropped off after that one MVP.
Wow. MVPs that struggled and fell off after said MVP. Now, real quick, Don.
Look it up because maybe you don't real. Like, did he win the MVP? That kind of thing. So you can have the MVPs in front of you.
Well, I know all the MVPs by heart, but
good.
The question I have is, does that mean they never played well again? Or simply after?
Never the same player and just fell off. Like, they might have still had moments after, but just it never duplicated it and then just disappeared shortly thereafter.
How about Kurt Warner?
You're nuts.
No, well, what are you talking about?
What am I? What you mean because of the Arizona season?
Yeah. He was still, like, he dropped. That might have been the answer had he not had the resurgence against Arizona, but he was still pretty
well, he had one more. Yeah, he had that year.
Ryan Howard?
No, I considered Ryan Howard, but no, not
Mattel. Oh, this is all sports. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, it's all sports.
How about Josh Hamilton?
Josh Hamilton, guys, I have at number two.
There you go.
Now, a lot of this was self-inflicted and bad breaks, but he was the MVP of the Texas Rangers in 2010. Played just 5 years after that. A couple of All-Stars after his MVP, but not quite equaling 2010, and then gone from the sport just a few years after that. Josh Hamilton, number two. Good pull, Michael. Good pull.
Thanks.
That was very good. Are the other ones football heavy or others?
I can tell you there's still
give us the
baseball, there's a basketball, there's a football, and there's a hockey. All four sports represented. But the only sport that was multiple times was baseball, and you got one of them. So all four are on the table here for the last four.
Hmm. I guess you're right. I do have to look some stuff up. This is impossible.
Take your time.
How about Justin Morneau?
Thought about Justin, but did not quite make the list.
Hmm.
Who are you taking out?
Well, that's the question. Well, the question is who are you putting in?
Yeah. We got to fill it out before we start talking.
How about Andrew McCutchen?
Thought about Andrew McCutchen. I did, but he had a silver slugger after that, had still a few good seasons in Pittsburgh after his MVP. Didn't match it, but I wouldn't say he's fallen off.
He's a good
player.
To the
extent of being in the top five. But certainly.
How about Mr. Derrick Rose?
Oh, Derrick Rose, a great pull, Peter. He's number three on the list. MVP in 2010, 2011. No All-Star appearances since then.
That's not what you want.
And he's played on four different teams since then, including your New York Knickerbockers. And injuries, obviously, were the major reason for all of that. But Derrick Rose is number three.
How about Rich Gannon?
Thought about Rich Gannon.
I thought about him.
But here's the thing. He did drop off, but he won the MVP at 37. So he ended up having two unproductive years after that and was out of the sport. But you don't leave yourself too much of a margin when you're ending an MVP in the NFL at 37 years old. So I thought that'd be a little unfair to include him on the list. But a good pull, Michael. That was a good pull.
How about... Let me think through this for a second.
Let me give him another baseball one.
Go ahead.
Kevin Mitchell.
No. Because, I should clarify, too. I didn't go that. I went to in the 2000s.
That would have
been... Everything's 2000s?
Yeah, since 2000. I don't want to go too deep of a dive here.
Then how about you give me Corey Perry of the Anaheim Ducks?
That's
how guess. About Sean Alexander?
Sean Alexander, Michael, is not only a good poll, it's number one.
Oh!
And that's a bad job out of Peter because Peter mentioned Sean Alexander.
Yesterday we talked about him.
Yesterday on the show. Sean Alexander is number one with a bullet. MVP season with Seattle in 2005. Just played three seasons after that, including a season with your Washington Redskins. In those 3 years, Peter, he averaged 545 yards a season.
So there's one more baseball one in the 2000s?
Yeah, and I brought this up to Andrew, and he kind of fought me, but I think the numbers stand up.
Josh Donaldson.
That is a great poll, Michael. I have him at number four. Now, he just won the MVP just 5 years ago in 2015. But, Michael, since then, one All-Star appearance. He's been on three different teams.
2019, he had a good year.
But he did. But there's also the four seasons around that where he's played 52 games, 36 games, 16 games, and 28 games. So he still has time to make up for it. But, Michael, not too many MVPs, 5 years later are on their third team and barely able to play 50 games a season.
Andrew fought you on this, though.
Donaldson is fourth. What's that?
Andrew fought you.
Well, he was a little bit surprised.
Don, there's a hockey one?
There is a hockey one that Andrew got.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at the list, though. I'm just trying to pick the people I don't know.
Now, obviously, this is Hart Trophy for hockey.
At Hospodar.
How about Sedin for Vancouver?
No.
How about Lindros?
No.
No, he said 2000 and up.
Sorry.
And I'm trying to think of who the name is that would have fallen off to this level.
Theodore.
There you go. Jose Theodore is number five. In 2002, he won the Hart Trophy and the Vezina Trophy.
What happened, Don?
Well, he played 12 years after that, but went to one All-Star game in those 12 years and four different teams. Only won 30 in a season one time after that tremendous 2001-02 season with the Montreal Canadiens. Jose Theodore, number five.
So we got them all.
Got them all. Theodore, five. Donaldson, four. Rose, three. Hamilton, two. Sean Alexander, one. Guys that I considered was McCutcheon, Rich Gannon, Cam Newton, Justin Morneau was thought about. It's not fair with Stanton, right? I mean, Stanton certainly has had a drop off, but it's only been a couple of years.
Yeah, you need more time.
Did you watch him in the postseason last year? Did you watch him? Couldn't get him out.
He was
Peter. I believe if three more years like what we saw in recent memory, that Stanton could be on that list, but not yet.
And that's going to have a monster year this year.
Is that what you're feeling?
Oh, yeah. I think he found the sweet spot of staying healthy. Six home runs in the last five games of the playoffs. Six.
You want to guarantee
it? That's on pace for over 162 home runs.
So guarantee it, Michael.
I don't guarantee things. I'm not Patrick Ewing.
Well, then it kind of your confidence kind of comes up wanting a little bit, don't you think?
I can't guarantee that, he could be crossing Lexington Avenue and get hit by a bus. I can't guarantee that.
Well, Michael, I think we'd let you off the hook if, God forbid, that happened.
See, that's the difference.
I told you, Michael, he wouldn't be the MVP.
I guarantee he's going to have a great year. Guarantee it.
All right, that's all I asked.
All right, you got it. You happy now?
You spoke with conviction, so why can't you just say, I guarantee he's going to have a big season?
But don't tell me
you didn't guarantee it because, God forbid, he get hit by a bus. Peter, I think we let him up. From the guarantee if that happened.
But Michael knows in reverse he wouldn't let you up.
You have the nerve to try to crawl into my brain. I mean, there's room there, but who do you think you are?
Am I wrong, Don?
I'm talking to Peter.
Wow.
Ouch. But am I wrong?
Well, we know, Michael. He would root for something like that just so that he could be right.
Exactly. Oh, you saw your boy got hit by a bus yesterday. Guess you're not getting that right.
Michael Kasha on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico.
It's so true.
The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. But here's the difference. Here's what you guys don't understand. I wouldn't root for the guy to get hit by a bus if Peter predicted it. But if he, in fact, got hit by a bus, then I would make the line that Peter said. See, your guy got hit by a bus.
And the thing that's funny about that to me is the your guy. Because then he would just be forever be your guy because you made that guarantee. Well, this makes the baseball season more interesting, Peter. We're going to have a Stanton watch, I think.
So sad.
Did you watch him in the postseason? Did you miss that, Don?
He was tremendous.
I think he was even better than that.
Better than tremendous.
Yeah.
He was hitting it off a team, Michael. He was fantastic.
Phenomenal. That's why they got him.
Right. But over 162...
It would equate to about 171 home runs.
And it's not going to happen. And will he be able to play in 150 games this year?
Yes, I believe he has a determination and a drive.
That would be a heck of a guarantee because health has been the issue for him.
Breaking it down for the people. 1-800-919-3776. There's so many ways to consume this fine broadcast. You know, you could do it on your smart speaker. It's easy. Don did it this morning.
Yes.
Play ESPN New York. Boom. There we are. ESPN app. Boom. There we are. Turn on yes. Boom. There we are. And listen on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Michael K. Show.
I had the pleasure of speaking with CeCe Sabathia. I asked him several questions, and most importantly,
what is the issue between you and my guy, Michael K.?
I confronted him about this, too, and I got nowhere.
Ebro, use your Oakland powers to read into this.
Is Rucco involved in this fracturing of a relationship that I never knew I fractured?
Rucco do the games, too. Don't try to talk about my partner.
This is the Michael K. Show.
There's not a right-minded person on earth that wouldn't like me.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so let me set it up before I turn it over to Peter. I have never, ever, ever in my life had a crossword with CeCe Sabathia. I'm in the locker room. I might go up, try to talk basketball with him. It was always a little bit stilted, but he never said, get out of my face or anything like that. But you know, you get the feeling when someone wants no part of you. We've tried to book him on the show. He will not come on the show when I'm on. There's certainly something there. I don't know what it is. I've sniffed around. And the best thing that I can come up with is that I'm a broadcaster. I'm not a fanboy. I don't root on the air. I don't think New York broadcasters do that, nor should they do that. Other cities, they do. And I'm not casting aspersions at other cities. If we did, we'd get excoriated. Maybe not by the fans, but certainly by the critics. And that's what we're hired to do. We're hired to tell the truth. And when you're the Yankee broadcaster, there's plenty of good news to talk about. You don't have to root and turn chicken blank into chicken salad. You don't have to do that because they're always good. But when they mess up, I think fans appreciate when you say something and point it out rather than putting lipstick on a pig. That's not what we do at Yes, and I don't think they do that at SNY. And I know they don't do it on the Yankee broadcast on radio. They don't. And Howie doesn't do it on the Met broadcast. I'm just talking about baseball here. So players that come from smaller markets, they do root. The announcers do root. And they're like part of the team. I guess we are not, even though we're owned by the Yankees on the Yes Network side. So I've always wondered, Don has been a good friend. And when he's come upon CC, he's asked him, what do you have a problem with Michael? And he says, I don't have a problem. So now we hand it off to Peter, who actually interviewed CC today for his morning show on Hot 97, Ebro in the Morning. So Peter, take it away.
Here we go. So CC was on the program. You can see it tomorrow on or later on tonight probably on Hot 97's YouTube channel or here on Ebro in the Morning on Hot 97 every weekday morning. I asked CC, do you have a problem with Michael K?
What is the issue between you and my guy, Michael K?
There is no issue. I don't think there's an issue.
Ebro,
Use your Oakland powers to read into this.
There is no issue.
I mean, all I saw was he broke eye contact.
You saw he broke eye contact, right? What is the deal?
There's no issue, man. That's the guy. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it's, but you never come on the show.
What do I need to come? Every time I come on the show and ask and answer Yankee questions, I get in trouble. Whatever I just said right now, they're going to make an article about this in the Post.
That's what I'm going for with the K questions. So you're telling me right now.
Anytime I answer Yankee questions, I always get in trouble. So it's no point in me going on like a show that I'll talk about only Yankees.
But you have no personal issue with Michael K.
Nope.
Then he continued, though, and he wondered why he's the only one who gets asked about this issue with Michael K., not Michael.
And you know what's crazy is I always get the blame for this. Like, it's CeCe that doesn't like Michael K.
Because Michael has told me before that he's tried. I think Michael says he'll try to come up and talk to you when he sees you, but he feels like he gets a cold shoulder.
We never see each other.
I distinctly remember a hotel elevator. I've heard a story or two.
Here's one thing everybody got to know about CeCe, though. CeCe's the nicest guy. Okay,
really is. I love it. And it's awkward for me because he knows you and I are cool. I'm like, CeCe's my guy.
Michael K's trying too hard.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah, and CeCe's from the town. He's from the Bay Area. Why are you trying so hard to be cool with me, my G? What's you really up to? What you really trying to do here?
What's the real reason?
Yeah, why me? Why you got to be so cool with me, bro?
Right, that means you said something you feel bad about. Yeah. That's what you're saying. All right, so hold on. I think this is mendable, though. I believe I can make the situation work.
I think everything is mendable. Like, why? I mean, you know.
CeCe, don't fall for that. It was a setup question right there. So you admitted to mending? Nah, that means that there's something broken. Rosenberg got you.
Now, Ryan Rucco gets mentioned. And then Ebro thinks that he gets a sense of what the real issue is once Ryan Rucco's name comes up. And shouts to CeCe's podcast on The Ringer, by the way, R2C2 with my boy Ryan Rucco. Look for that wherever you get podcasts as well.
Rucco do the games, too. Don't try to talk about my partner, bro. He do the baseball. He do Yes Network games, too.
See? Look at him. He's already trying to push Michael off.
I just figured it out.
Full circle. No, shouts
Michael. Yo, Michael K., check this out, fam. They tapping on the door, B. They want you out that booth.
And then lastly...
Wow.
He acknowledges that the players listen to the games at times when you might not even expect, Michael. You know, when CeCe's had some moments and listened to how Kay waxed poetic about his greatness as a Yankee. So players do hear a lot, though. There's a lot of talk, and I think it is.
No, difficult. Players hear a lot, man. And, like, you know, we listen to all the games during the game. During the game, we're listening to the game.
Really? You can hear it?
Yeah.
Wow. So one little thing can get said, and you're like, yo,
see, look at his face now. I knew it was something.
Players are listening to the game, bro. That's all I'm going to tell you.
All right. What about Paul O'Neill? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, everybody loves Paulie.
See? You hear that reaction, don't you, bro? Don?
Well, I got this all figured out. And it's not going to make people feel good, but I don't care. Okay, so I'm going to step on a lot of toes here. You okay with that, Michael?
I'm not stepping. You are. Right. You can say what you want.
The reason CeCe can't tell you exactly why he has a problem with you is because it's hard to put into words what he wants from you without insulting what he's getting from other people. Because I will disagree with one thing that you said before. I think Sterling and Susan do an amazing job. But they do a Yankee broadcast.
But, Don, nobody rips the Yankees more than John when they're not playing well.
Yeah,
no one.
It's different. It just comes across as different. All right? Like, I don't know how much, because it sounds like if they're listening during the game, they probably, when they walk in the behind the dugout, the game might be on. Like,
it's in the clubhouse.
Right.
TVs in the clubhouse.
It's not
the
radio.
It used to be
the
radio that used to be on at the old stadium.
But I do find that, he criticizes to no end leaving a runner at third base with less than two outs, not getting a big hit at the right time. You know, but John really defends the players. He defended Alex Rodriguez. He never ripped him for the PED stuff. And I think he just came across as like he kind of supports the players. And I think Ryan, because of his relationship with CC, and let's face it, Ryan's also a diehard Yankee fan. He's professional. He does his job. But I think what he gets from Ryan and what he probably gets from John is different than what he gets from you. Because between you doing the show, and I watch the Yes broadcast a lot, Michael, you know, you're surprised how much I watch it, is that sometimes because you're trying to be professional and trying to be neutral and not be Yankee boy, that comes across as you not being all in supporting the players. And it's hard for him to put that into words because what he'd be asking you is, why aren't you shilling for us? Why aren't you going out there and showing support? Why aren't you rooting for us? Because that's deep down inside what every player wants. Especially like in football, when they come from college, they expect the announcers all to be wearing the T-shirt of the team and having pom-poms out. And you're not that. And I think one of the reasons you go out of your way not to be that way is because of this show. And it's hard for him to put that into words, Peter, because then it would be like, why isn't he rooting for us? So I don't know if he is mad at you, but he probably doesn't feel like he has you in their corner. Because you're not. Why would you be? You try your hardest to be neutral during those broadcasts. That's not the way it is around Major League Baseball. It's not the way it is around in sports. Listen to out-of-town broadcasts. They're openly rooting for the team. And that's not what you do. I think that's what he wants. But how do you put that into words? How do you say, I don't like Michael Kay because he's not a fan of ours?
Michael, what do you take from everything you heard? It was a lot there.
Well, I think it comes down to that, you know, he's intimating we hear what he says on the air. And I have always made it a point because I know that I can't do what they do. I never criticize a physical error. If somebody makes an error, he makes an error. I mean, how could you rip the guy? Like if Gleyber Torres throws the ball away, oh, how did he do that? Like Harry Carey would. I criticize mental errors. How could they forget how many outs there were? Why would you go from first to third and make the final out at third base? It doesn't make sense. Stuff like that. I am not a fanboy. I'm just not.
Yeah, but
and that's not what the people at Yes want.
Right.
And anybody that goes on the air in New York is a fanboy. They're embarrassing themselves because nobody else does it.
So you think at some point he probably just got a vibe from you that because you call it straight,
right,
sounded negative.
Like, sounded to his ears. And everyone is sensitive about their craft. Yeah. It felt negative. And that's now it. He has this negative connotation with you, kind of based on nothing.
Right. That's why it's hard for him to put it in the words. Because, Michael, you're looking at it the wrong way. All right? It's not about you being critical. Like,
it's me being down the middle.
You know how much I love Howie and Gary. I mean, I grew up with those guys. I mean, I grew up with Gary on the radio after Gary Thorne left. And Howie's been, you know, in my life as a Met fan, going back to Mets Extra. Right? They are professional. They're future Hall of Famers. They're great at what they do. But you know listening that they're fans of the team. You know how he is a Met fan.
But wait a minute.
You know Gary is a Met fan.
But Gary kills them.
Again, you're looking at it the wrong way.
But you got it wrong on me, though. You got it wrong on me. I want the Yankees to win. You know why? Because it helps the Yes Network.
I know, The thing is, and see if you can follow me, Peter, because, again, I'm not. It's just the way you decide to do it. You know how Gary cried during the no-hitter. Cried on the air. Howie Rose cried after the Alonso home run on the day Tom Seaver died. You're not doing that. Right, I love you for that.
When they took Mo out of the game, I couldn't talk.
I know, but you'd have to say that Santana's no hitter, and a home run the day Tom Seaver died is a little bit different. I thought, as much as I love those guys, that's still like a little over the top. That Howie cried on the air, but Met fans love him for that. And they don't root for the team on the air, but you know they grew up Met fans, and that deep down inside they are a part of the Mets, because they don't have to worry about doing a talk show, right?
Well,
you do a talk show, so it's hard. You already get you are not Yankee boy. You still get accused of being.
Nah, but when I did the 10 years on the radio, I broadcast it the same way because I'm still a newspaper guy at heart. But
right.
The one thing that jumped out at me, Peter, is when he said people keep asking me, why don't they ask him, right? Mm. I will tell you this. I don't have a problem with CC Sabathia. I'm shocked if he ever says that I said anything negative about him. I lauded everything he's done. He's one of the best pitchers I've ever seen. I think that he had an amazing career. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's one of the best teammates that was ever in that room. He straightened that room out in 2009. People loved him. I would say it chapter and verse. So,
and I said,
I mean,
that.
I'm sorry. I can't stand on my head. And here's the way I look at it. The greatest players that ever played for the Yankees in the last 40 years, all I have to do is pick up a phone and they'll do something for me. They were at my wedding. So, I mean, I've always been the same broadcaster. I guess when they were winning four championships, there's nothing negative to say. I became tight with all of them. You want Tino Martinez on the air right now? I'll call him. You want Mo on the air right now? I'll call him. Strawberry, I'll call him. Any of those guys. Paul O'Neill. So how could all of those guys have a relationship with me? But these guys, who, by the way, won one championship in the last 20 years, they don't like that I don't root for them.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. I really am.
No.
And you don't have to ask me. CeCe, I'd love to have you on. I have no problem with you whatsoever. I've actually offered to do stuff at your charities. And I've got no reply back, so, I mean, that's pretty much an answer. So there is a problem there, as Don said earlier, but you just don't want to say it.
And if my theory is correct, that's weak out of CeCe. I mean, come on. But I think what it comes down to is that, and again, I'm not bashing John, or I love them all. I think they all do tremendous jobs. But you have admitted on the air that you're not a Yankee fan anymore. You're neutral. And that's great. That's the right way to be.
But I want the Yankees to win.
Of course you do. For the Yes Network. But what I'm saying is Ryan Rucco is still a Yankee fan. He still roots for that team to win because he's a fan. He never
But what's
gave
the
up
difference?
On his
fan. I'm rooting for them to win without like cheering on the air. I want them to win for the good of my company.
Right, but that's not the way he looks at it. He probably likes Ryan more because he figures, "Oh, Ryan's got my back. Ryan's still a fan." Like, no player wants to hear on the air that you're no longer a fan of the team.
But I'm not against the team. That's the difference.
Right, but again, it's not you're against them. It's just that feeling of why are you not a fan of us? Why do you take such pride in being neutral? Like, they don't get it. You're doing the right thing. That's the way it's supposed to be, especially in this town. But because of the talk show, you feel like, hey, I'm being neutral. That way, you know, Met fans can feel, and Met fans have compliments.
Oh, this is big here, Don. By the way, Michael has made the name of the interview on Hot 97. It's gone live on Hot 97's YouTube channel. I'm going to tweet it. CeCe Sabathia on Black Players in Baseball, Michael K, and Standing Up for the Yankees. You're in the title. This is big.
Wow.
But again, I'm not killing
you. You don't sound happy about this, though. You sound more stressed.
Because this has been something that's bothered me for a while. Because CeCe Sabathia, you know, when I was starting my career, the guy who helped shape my career was Don Mattingly, who was the leader of that room. So Don Mattingly would tell people when they got to the Yankees, he would point to me and go, "That's the guy to trust. He's great. He'll never do you wrong. He'll always play it right straight and won't lie or anything like that. That's the guy." So, I mean, I was golden in the room. CeCe Sabathia is the leader of the team, still is, hasn't played. He could work the opposite way. See that guy? He's a schmo. Don't talk. That bothers me. But here's what I always take pride in. Dick Young taught me this a long time ago when I was a writer. You write something bad about somebody, even if you're off the next day, show up the next day, stand in the middle of the clubhouse. If anybody has a problem with you, they'll come to talk. But if you don't show up, then it's just going to build up. Every time I've ever said anything negative about anybody, if they go in first or third, why'd they do that, I show up, I'm there, you have a problem with me. That's why I respect Nick Swisher. Nick Swisher hated me because he thought I hated him. And he came up to me in the middle of class, "Dude, what's up with you and me?" And I talked to him, and now I love the guy. I love him. That's the way you solve problems. Well, if you have an issue with somebody, you walk up to him and solve it.
But here's, you just said it in the sentence. Like, you pride yourself in being a journalist, like a member of the media. And you know how players feel about the media, right? But the other announcers, because they don't do a show, they don't feel like, you know, Gary Thorne, or Gary Cohen, or Howie Rose, or John Sterling, or Ryan Rucco are in the media. They look at them as, they're part of my team. They're the Yankee announcers. You saying you're a journalist and a member of the media, that's the issue, because they hate the media.
So you're the bad guy.
If you listen to what CC said, how
is CC supposed to say that when he's in the media and trying to promote things? He's not going to sit there, I hate the media, but don't you think that's probably... CC's not in the media. He's a journalist and a member of the podcast.
And if you listen to what CC said, he didn't talk about the show. He said they listened to the games.
But the show's on, too, Peter. The show's on.
Right, and also that does get blurred. People forget where they hear something negative.
Because when you walk into that clubhouse at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the TVs are on, yes. They're showing the show. Right. And this, you do criticize people here if they go 0 for 40. And it's funny because even if you mention, well, this guy's 0 for 40, they think you're ripping them. You're stating a fact. They're 0 for 40.
I know. They're like, why are you bringing up old stuff?
Because that's a deal. Is that you're 0 for 40. Hasn't won in 10 starts. You have to say it. You're not ripping them. I wouldn't say, how could he have not won in 10 starts? I couldn't do it. Hasn't won in 10 starts.
When I confronted him about like the media and the team struggling and all that, I don't think it's a problem with you criticizing the field stuff. I think they get that. I think they understand that. It's just that you're on the other team. You're the media guy. And they don't look at the other announcers as the media guy. And the other thing that kills, it happens to me all the time too, but especially because your name's on the show, Michael, there's probably times I say something or Peter says something, and it gets back to the players that Michael said it or Michael didn't jump us for it. Like, if it comes out of the Michael K show, it's all of a sudden everything's Michael's problem, when it could have been me that said something.
That too.
Or it could have been Peter that said something. But you by doing the things that you do, Michael, I think you just get put into a corner where you're the bad guy. And
I'm
the other
good
guys
with
are the good guys.
I would tell all these people, how's it working out for me? I've done okay.
But then, at the end of the day, you're doing the right thing. You're just going to have to live with some players just not caring for you because you're doing the right thing.
You know what else I think could be an issue? So the 96 team where I'm still real close with all those guys, they were my age.
That you've talked about this. That's
a big
too.
Deal. I'm 59 now. I mean, what exactly do I have in common with Davey Garcia? He could actually be my son. So a younger broadcaster is probably on the same wavelength, although I'm unbelievably cool, but they can't look at me as an equal because I'm older than them.
Yeah, you're turning 53 on Saturday.
Let me ask you this, Michael. When you walk into the clubhouse... or when like John walks into the clubhouse, they may not stop talking. They may just include him in the conversation because they figure, oh, it's John. You know, it's safe. John's not going to say anything on the air. But when you walk in, do they clam up the same way they would if Joel Sherman walked in? Like, here comes the media. Be quiet.
No, because
he might say
that's not
the
way
show.
It works. I mean, no. I mean, I could go up and talk to players. I do all the time. But I think CeCe intimated. You know, it might be widespread. I've checked that out. I don't think it's why. I have great relationships with a lot of the guys. But, again, it's not something I lose sleep over. I wondered for a while. I think it comes down to that I'm not a fanboy, and I will not be a fanboy on the air. I'll never rip them unnecessarily, and deep down I want them to win because that's great for the YES Network, because that's the product we're selling. The more they win, the better it is for us. The more ads we sell, the more we can charge for the ads. I'm a company guy. I'm not rooting against them. Now, if they had a broadcaster up there that was rooting against them, clearly in favor of them losing, then they'd have a real kick coming. But somebody who's not going, yay, get a hit, I'm not going to do it.
Then that's right. And if that's what they want, then this is what you live with. And you're fine with that.
Very fine. Our good buddy Jeff Passan, number two on the list of guests, says that the White Sox have non-tendered starter Carlos Rodon, who is a really good pitcher. And if I'm the Yankees, I'm taking a look at Rodon. I think that's how you pronounce the name. And Nomar Mazara, who's also a pretty good player, but they don't want to pay them what they would get in arbitration. Carlos Rodon, who has had some shoulder issues but can pitch, that's a guy I would look into, take a flyer on him. But we're going to get a lot of that. The deadline for tendering people is actually 8 p.m. tonight. So the Red Sox have non-tendered Carlos Rodon and outfielder Nomar Mazara. All right, we'll come back, and we're going to tell you how you can get involved, how you can take a holiday hot take. That's what we're calling it. This is really fun. Stick around for that. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on YES and on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.